Hello, boys and girls, and thank you for tuning in to the Big Honker Podcast. Tell you what, we're ticking away. May will bring June, July, August. We're not that far away, ladies and gentlemen.
We go from off-season at the Big Honker Lodge. This podcast is brought to you by Stanfield Hunting. We're just going to be number one.
There you go.
But we go from not doing much to August is here, and it's time to start getting everything completely ready for hunting season. We're right around the corner. So
that's right. About 90 days away is all from first part of August.
Pray for some rain. We're going to need some rain. Everybody in the Midwest does. Anyway, Stanfield Hunting Outfitters is our first one. If you need anything, any hunting, I've got one weekend dove season. I can do a corporate group. I think it's September 23rd weekend opened. If you're looking for a corporate dove hunt, you can bring 20 guys out for $9,000 for the weekend. That's your guys completely at the lodge. Nobody else here. And that's the third weekend in September, I believe, is open. I moved that group to October, so I do have an opening I did not have until just last week. Anyways, that's StanfieldHunting.com. Also brought to you by Dive Bomb Industries. We've been with Dive Bomb from day one. Dive Bomb's been with us since about day three or four for them, but we are a great team. They make the best product out there. They by far have the best decoys on the market.
They look great, affordable. I know a lot of people they pay attention to where they spend their money in the off season. If you got a little bit of extra cash, it does not hurt to buy a couple dozen Dive Bomb Industry silhouettes.
They've completely changed the game for sandhill crane hunting.
Yes, yes.
You can
yes.
make an affordable spread. You can get 10 dozen Dive Bomb sandhill cranes. You can hunt anywhere. And with not only with the Dive Bomb decoys, but then you can also use the Lucky Duck A-frame.
That's right, yeah. Everything is everything's connected. Lucky Duck has got the most comfortable A-frame on the market, fits four grown men, they got the best spinners, and they're dog crates, five-star crash test rated, and they got a big boy kennel for puppy like Lou. So check them out, and they make great products. Love them.
And our birthday boys, the boys that started their business the same time we did, the guys over at Boss Shot Shells.
Boss Shot Shells, all-American made company, copper-plated bismuth, hits like a freight train, patterns excellently. And you are buying into the way of life. I mean, they pay attention to the heritage of waterfowl hunting, and that's what you're buying whenever you're getting Boss. No BS, all results.
If you're an old man like me and you're mid-50s up and you grew up shooting lead shotgun shells, then it's going back in time because it's just like shooting lead back in the day.
Yeah, it's vicious.
Grew up hunting ducks with lead sixes, and you can do the same with Boss.
And then shotshells.com.
And then our friends over on the West Coast at Spokompton, Washington.
Not for much longer. They're going to be moving here pretty soon. But, yes, right now they are in Spokompton, and they are full-fledged into turkey mode. I think they even got a new box call out. So be looking forward to that. And our video that we did where they came turkey hunting out here, our video is actually live right now. So check them out. I think it's on YouTube. It'll be on all social media channels. So check it out. We talked to Wary Tom's into coming over. If you're hunting it, they got a call for it. Goose, duck, sandhill cranes, whatever you need, check them out. PacificCustomCalls.com. And the PCD is the best duck call in the market. So go buy it right now.
And if you're going to be hunting in water, you got to have some shin gear waders.
Yes. Yes. Very, very comfortable. The boot is fantastic. It's almost like slipping into a tennis shoe. Durable nylon fabric. It's not going to rip easily. And they've got an amazing guarantee that they're going to stand behind their product for as long as you stand in them. So if you have an issue with your shin gear waders, you just simply send them back. They'll take care of it. No questions asked. And they got a great turnaround time. So it's not like some companies where you have to buy several sets of waders so that you can have one. Not with them. They're going to fix it. They're going to get it back to you.
And how do we start every morning at the Big Honker Lodge?
Dirty Duck Coffee. It is the way to go.
The guy has a damn General Lee car. Who would you not buy coffee from? That's about as American as you can get.
That is. That is. So check them out at Dirty Duck Coffee. The Missouri Boat Ride blend you can't go wrong with. Smooth. Sweet tasting blend, and it'll get your motors up and running every single morning. That's how we start our day.
And so they will be at Squad Fest. I don't know if they'll have the General Lee with them at Squad Fest, but they did have them at Ducks, and maybe they will have it at Squad Fest. But anyways, check them out at dirtyduckcoffee.com. And then the boys over at Looking Glass Duck Club.
Logan and Rebel, they're hilarious individuals. They have a Patreon account. You donate money to it every month, and then you're granted unlimited access to their entire library of episodes. And I tell you what, they're hilarious. It is not for the faint of heart, and it is definitely not for children, but neither is this one. So, you know, don't listen with kids around. But they are a lot of fun. Great guys. I hunt with them every year, and they're just as funny in person as they are on the radio. So I highly recommend you go check them out. Check them out on Patreon. Pay the monthly subscription, and away you go. Looking Glass Duck Club podcast. Logan and Rebel.
And then our good friend Alex Langbell.
Gundog Outdoors. The quick release system is something that I think every dog owner should have. There's no sense in not tethering your dog and making sure that Fido does not leave your side until you are ready for him to leave your side. You clip it on there, but it's got a little pulley that you pull the string, unhooks from the dog. Dog goes away, comes back, hook it back up. The dog stays where you want him to all of the time. No accidents. I don't care how highly qualified your dog is. All it takes is one accident, and you're having a totally different morning. So it's cheap. Goes straight to your door. Alex designed it himself. Quick release system. Get it. They also have leashes. They've got collars. They've got a stainless steel dog bowl. Listen, dog bowls can get nasty. The stainless steel bacteria can't grow in it. So I highly recommend you getting that for your pooch. And he's got these little bitty leashes that are about 3 feet long. They're great because if you're out walking your dog in a public setting, you don't want a 20-foot leash that's got rope going everywhere. Get you a little 3-foot check cord, and don't worry about all the excess crap. Check them out, Gundog Outdoors.
And if you're going to be hunting in an A-frame or a pit blind or you're going dove hunting, there's no sense to be sitting on a bucket anymore.
Mm-mm. Not with Alpha Outdoor Specialties.
Mm-mm. The Stanfield stool.
Maker of the Stanfield stool. Sturdy bottom, comfortable chair, swivels.
With a backrest.
With a backrest. So even if you're dove hunting, you can take the Stanfield stool out, swivel around. It's not going to improve my shooting any, but I'll at least be comfortable while I'm dove hunting. They can make anything. I mean, they're just a tool company that you get an idea, you send it over to them, and they can make it. You tell them about the Stanfield stool, and they can definitely ship that out to you. But it's a comfortable little invention that they've got.
When you're a big boy and you sit on a bucket, it's hard on the ass. Them little skinny guys like you, Andy, you got ass got to fall inside the bucket sometimes.
Yeah, but I sit on a bucket every – I have sat on a bucket every day, and it is not comfortable. It's hard on the knees. It's hard on the back. It's hard on the butt. I am going to be sitting in a Stanfield stool every day. Even if I'm the only one in the blind sitting in a Stanfield stool, it is going to be me. Alpha Outdoor Specialties.
And when your night's over and you sit down to a cocktail –
nice Bangtail whiskey. Oh, it's delicious. He's finally got glass bottles. Here we are 2 years into the pandemic. Glass bottles are hard to find. Brandon has weathered the storm. He's bottling his whiskey and shipping it all over the place. So if you see Bangtail whiskey in your local liquor store, be sure and grab it. It's delicious. Brandon has perfected the – Brandon has got the perfect blend of – scented notes and all that other good stuff that goes into a good whiskey. Brandon's got it going on at Bangtail Whiskey. You can order it, and I think it'll ship straight to your door. So check them out, bangtailwhiskey.com, and let them know that the Big Honker Podcast guy sent you. That's all of them. All right, boys and girls, our guest today is Mr. Wade Skeen from Skeen Outfitters and Skeen Gun Dogs. Great guy, retired from the military and started his own waterfowl outfit up there in Kansas. A lot of fun talking to him. If you're in the market for a hunt up there in Kansas, or if you've got a lab hunting dog that you want to have trained, I'd highly recommend you checking him out. You can check him out at Skeen Outfitters on Instagram. Here we go. Wade Skeen. There we go. 3, 2, 1.
Boom, and welcome to the Big Honker Podcast, brought to you by Ducks Unlimited. For 85 years, Ducks Unlimited has worked towards one goal: skies full of waterfowl today, tomorrow, and forever. It's a daunting challenge and one our supporters take very seriously, because to them, nothing is more important than full skies and all starts in our local events. Go to find out to find an event near you, go to www.ducks.org. DU is a proud sponsor of the Big Honker Podcast and duck hunters everywhere. I'm also with...
Maybe you should start reading more, because you really didn't fuck any of that up.
Well, I'll start putting it in my own words. He told me to kind of put that in my own terms, so I figured it's safer to just use his terms.
Just use his terms.
With me today is the world-famous Andy Shaver.
Yeah.
Ducks and Lemons, our new sponsor. Wanted to throw a plug in there for them. And with us today, from Kansas.
The great state.
The stud from Kansas, they call him, Mr. Wade Skeen. Wade, how are you doing?
Good, man. So, DU, is this the first episode of that? Because that's the first time I've heard it.
This yes. is, yeah. It became official, yes. I guess, yesterday.
Well, that just made my day. I'm sure we've talked about it before, but I'm a DU volunteer up here and actually have an event tonight, and my lovely wife is sitting over here beside me at the other desk planning for our crawfish boil that we have on June 4th. So, no, that's freaking awesome. I'm glad y'all are linked up with DU now.
We're going to we will probably every week, at least every 2 weeks, have an event that they have or fundraisers are doing across the country and kind of promote those a little bit.
Awesome.
So anyways, we're proud to be with DU. So
they do a lot of work and conservation for
a lot of so. West Texas too.
Yeah.
Mostly on private ground, because there's not a lot of public ground out that way, but I mean, habitat, you do what you can where you can.
So you've got an event, a DU event tonight?
Yeah, so I'm a district chairman, so I have 6 active chapters right now, and one of our chapters about 20 minutes south of us has their annual banquet tonight.
And then did you say you're doing a crawfish boil also?
In June?
In June? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this will be our 5th one. Would have been 6th if it wouldn't have been for COVID, but so we started this 2018, I don't know, somewhere back in there. I don't math, but I'm from Mississippi. So, yeah, we started out a crawfish boil up here because nobody else was cooking crawfish up here at that point. And my brother, who still lives in Mississippi, will load up a trailer with about 1,000 pounds of crawfish and shrimp and bring it up here and cook it. And we got 2 live bands and a live auction, and we're going to have a big-ass party.
What will 1,000 pounds of crawfish, that'll feed 4 coon asses and how many regular people?
4 coon asses and about 50 regular people, maybe. Now we average 3 pounds per person. So if we get 200 people there, you know, we'll have 600 pounds of crawfish, and then we'll do a 0.5 pound of shrimp. So you're talking about, I don't know, 900 pounds.
I like crawfish, but they are a lot of work.
It's an event, man. It's not, I mean, crawfish yes. is good. And I love eating crawfish, but it's more of a gathering, you know, like it's drinking beer. And like the sides with the crawfish are really the best part. Yeah,
no shit. Potatoes and the corn.
Yeah.
And then
mushrooms and Brussels sprouts. That's my 2 favorites.
Brussels sprouts. Now, Stale Cracker puts hot dogs in his.
I mean, anything that'll soak up that juice is going to be good. I mean, one thing that I've heard recently that I want to try out is pineapple.
Ooh.
Listen to this. It's not the coon-ass version of it, but me and Harry were coming home last night, and he told me he's going to make some cornbread at the lodge, and for the wet ingredients, going to put in crushed pineapple. And I said, I bet that should be pretty damn tasty.
Yeah, especially if it was Mexican cornbread with a little jalapeno and pineapple in there with that sweet meat.
That would be really good. He's going to try that. He said next time he makes it, because he does the jalapeno, the Mexican cornbread, but he said, I'm going to try to put in crushed pineapples next time. I thought, you know, that's pretty damn good. I've never had pineapple in the crawfish before, or shrimp, but we do shrimp boils.
I bet it would be good, though. You said, the sweet heat would be pretty damn good.
Yeah, I've just heard of it, so I'm looking forward to trying it.
Fucking TikTok. They got me on – well, my mom had the pineapples from Sam's that soaked in the coconut water.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Those are good.
But whenever, my wife – more useful shit from TikTok. I have it, but I don't ever do anything with it because – I'll look up, it'll be 3 hours later, and I should have gone to sleep, and that's really.
Titties and food. That's all I see on TikTok. Titties and food.
It finds out your algorithm, what you stop at.
Well, if there's a girl bouncing around in bikini, I'm going to stop and look at it. Excuse me. I'm sorry. That's the way I was born. And if there's someone making lasagna, I'm going to stop and look at it too.
Yeah.
So titties and food is what I want to watch.
But some of my friends, they've also got the pineapple, but they're putting like Malibu in it. So you get fucked up when you eat your pineapples. But hey, I'm all for that too.
Watermelon with vodka.
Yeah.
Or Everclear.
Young people don't know about Everclear though, like we used to.
Probably a good thing, Jeff.
Yeah, Purple Passion, Trash Can Punch. They don't know about all that shit. You know, they don't have a clue about all that.
Ever see anybody make it in a bathtub?
I've drank it before. I went by.
Drinking it out of a bathtub.
I drove by a shitty hotel. Now, you're right. What you're thinking is exactly right. I didn't think about that until just recently, but. On Seymour Highway, across from a strip club in Wichita Falls, Maximus, I think is the only strip club even in Wichita anymore, there's some shitty, seedy fucking hotels. And some kids from Burke Burnett, when I was a senior in high school, had a party there one night, and we went to it. And you went into the bathroom, and you got you took your Dixie cup, and you drank out of the fucking bathtub. They had Hawaiian punch with fruit and all kinds of shit in there.
Fuck that.
And I thought about that the day when I drove by there, and I thought, God, I drank out of that fucking one of them bathtubs in them nasty-ass rooms. Oh.
Ain't enough Clorox in the world.
It's amazing I don't have some form of hepatitis just from that night. Mm.
We used to light the Everclear on fire, and we'd do all sorts of cool shit with that. Luckily, they didn't fucking burn my face off.
Yeah, Everclear and I think 151. Both.
Yep.
I thought I was fucking bleeding to death. I started that trash can punch shit and threw it all up. I thought I was fucking bleeding to death. Thought this is the end. Fucking.
A guy in Thailand eat some hot wings one night and got had a little too much to drink. He threw up the hot wings and he went to the emergency room because he thought he was throwing up blood, but he wasn't all there in the head at that point.
Now you lived in Thailand?
Mm-mm. Lord, no. I just went there for work.
So you worked there, though. So you were there for a little bit, right?
Just for like a week.
Is it ungodly fucking hot there?
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's hot. It's thick Louisiana. Hot.
Humid.
Yeah.
What was the food like? Did you enjoy any of that, or did you leave the base?
No, I wasn't at the base. I was at Bangkok.
Oh.
Wasn't no base. It was the food was unbelievable. I mean, absolutely unbelievable. It was the first time I ever had Thai food. Was in Thailand, and kind of ruined. Shit.
Yeah.
Were you married?
Yeah, I was married. I was married the whole time I had that job, and so I was a good guy.
I have some clients of mine that will say they're not married, and they went there and they had some funny stories though about this shit.
I mean, it ain't no shortage of trouble to get into if that's what you want to be.
Yeah.
I would not want to get in trouble in Thailand.
Mm-mm, me either. I was always kind of nervous about stuff like that anyway. Like, in places like that, man, that's where you wake up in the bathtub with a kidney missing or something.
Yes, yeah. What that the flight attendant, isn't that where she was? Well, she was in Bangkok, wasn't she?
Yeah, but that guy got his throat cut off, not...
Spoiler kidney. Alert, Jeff.
Oh, sorry. But remember in... The Hangover 2,
yeah,
I think, or the third Hangover. I don't know how many hangers. They went to Thailand, and the kid come up missing.
I think it was the second one.
Yeah. That's a great fucking series. I wish they'd do more of those.
I don't remember that. I don't know if I watched the third one. First two were good. But.
Yeah, that's one of those things. Like, how many of those can you really do? Like,
who
how
gives
many,
a shit?
How many times are you going to get fucking roofied or whatever? And I don't know. First one was unbelievable. I mean,
yeah,
might be... the best comedy ever.
Debatable, I mean,
it's
for sure.
Debatable. It's up there.
Yes.
You can make a case for it. But like second and third, it's just like anything else. I mean, how often, how many times can you go back to that same well?
I agree with you, but they were good.
Just like Pirates of the Caribbean.
Ah, fuck that.
I've never watched those.
Pirates? The first one is really, really good. Past that, I could take it or leave it. But the first one is really good.
I never hear Johnny Depp's name again, I really wouldn't care.
They think he's going to lose his case.
Who cares? Do you really give a shit if his ex-wife's shit in his bed? Wade, do you care? We lost Wade.
Not even a little bit.
Oh, there
you go. Damn.
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
We got you.
I don't care anything about them.
Yeah.
I don't, at all. I don't get all that caught up in celebrity stuff.
You know what's crazy is when a celebrity dies and these fucking people are boo-hooing and shit.
You didn't even know that motherfucker.
Yeah, but they just get all fucking worked up. Oh, my God, he's dead.
Just like when
motherfucker don't even know who you are.
It's like when Kobe died.
You're a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah, like when Kobe died. Like, you know, it's a tragedy, but I didn't lose sleep. It sucks. It sucks for his family. You know, his daughter was on board. It's a tragedy. But I don't think of it. I don't put any more stock into it than I would just any other person, any other random person in this world that I didn't know, that didn't know me.
If John Riggins would have died in 1984, my favorite football player of all times, I still would not have
been upset.
No, I didn't know the guy. I cheered for him because the Redskins beat the Cowboys.
I mean,
they won a Super Bowl. But
it sucks on a human to human level. Yes. It's a tragedy. But beyond that,
kind of like I didn't lose no sleep when old Linda Ride or Die White or whatever that damn guard is that popped herself in the head the other day. That had the fugitive escape. Did you see that?
Oh yeah, I know. I haven't read about it, but I saw the headline.
Yeah, someone's got a meme going around now called her Ride or Die. You know, and she shot herself. Well, fuck, she's a dumbass. Shot herself. She should have never let the guy get out of jail with her. She did it herself.
Huh? What'd she do?
We had a prison, a very violent criminal. She was a guard. She worked there. She said, I'm going to take him to the dentist. And she goes, I'll do it by myself. Well, she'd been fucking him, I guess.
Oh.
And they left. And they never came back. And she sold her house for like $90,000. That's the sumbitch that won in this. Someone bought her $300,000 house for $90,000 because she needed to sell it right then. The guy paid her $90,000. She went and took the cash out. She got Debo out of jail and they left. Well, they finally got ran down in Evansville, Indiana, and she popped herself in the head. And all these people, I feel so sorry for her. What? Why? I feel sorry for somebody that's at, what's the place, St. Jude's. That's people I feel sorry for. I don't feel sorry for a damn lady that got some prisoner out of jail.
Right.
I mean, so, don't care. Play
stupid games, win stupid prizes.
Bingo.
You can't have that attitude anymore.
Wade, tell us about duck season. You live in the best place in the world to hunt waterfowl. It seems like the last couple of years is Kansas. Did you have a hard year like everybody else did?
Extremely tough.
Yep.
It was, I mean, we kill birds, but it wasn't without more tough days than usual and, you know, four trucks running the road from daylight to dark, scouting, trying to find hunts, and very, very, very tough.
Living the dream ain't always living the dream, is it?
No, it's still living the dream.
You do get your gray hairs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I had as easy and as good of season as we've ever had up until December 18th. From December 18th till the end of January was a horrible, horrible time. I still didn't have no trouble sleeping at night. You can't control Mother Nature.
I usually fell asleep with my hunting clothes still on, but that was from being up since 4 o'clock going.
I run a different life than most guys because I don't have to guide no more. I scout.
You're a jefe duty.
He is.
Yes. But you can't control what you can't control. And that's it. So I didn't. But I knew the whole time it was really, really good, and I kept watching the weather, and we'd talk about it.
But now, hold on.
We knew it was going to get tough.
Don't give me this holier-than-thou attitude.
What's holier-than-thou?
Because you have morphed into this.
Morphed into what?
This attitude is recent, within the last 3 to 5 years.
I'm getting older now.
But that's what I'm saying. So, like, don't – because I did lose sleep. I'd be like, oh, fuck. You know, so don't give me this bullshit about, we can control what we can control. That's new. That's within 3 years of being there.
I think when you turn –
you still got the tag. You could return it if you wanted to.
I think when you turn 50, you realize that.
I guess.
You do. You can only do what you can do.
I'm 15 years away.
You can't make it cold. You can't make us have snow. You can't make us – right now, we're in the middle of fucking drought. I don't go to sleep. I don't every night lay down. I ask Jesus every day.
Sweet baby Jesus.
Please bring us some rain.
He said it right.
7 pounds, 5 ounces. Sweet baby Jesus.
Swaddled in a cloth. Please think of us. overlook the three wise men over there and look at me, please, and send me some rain.
Top five funny movies ever. Holiday Nights, you'd have to put in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's but a good one.
I, every night I ask for rain, but I don't sweat because you can't make it do it. Just like farmers. I talked to an old farmer right here the other day, and I said, boy, we need some rain. He goes, yep, God will let it rain when he wants it to. And I thought, yep.
When he's ready.
Yeah.
I talked to a guy yesterday, and he said, God ain't answering our prayers.
We got somebody bad in our county.
I guess so. Yeah, it's the guy that's saying God ain't answering our prayers. I did. I was talking to him. He's like, yeah. God, he just quit listening to us.
I don't get too freaked out over the hunts being hard because, like, you know, most of our clients are legit duck hunters anyway. They just don't have mallet where they are. So that's why they want to come here and hunt. So they know. Like, they know the difference when you're putting out.
Yeah.
And you know, and they get it. Like, if it's 65 degrees in December and you're not killing ducks because none of them are flying until after shoot light, like, they understand. And they know you're working your butt off to try to make it happen. Now, I do freak out about the long-term stuff, like the drought in the Dakotas, and, you know, what if they cut our season down to X amount of days, or because that now affects my ability to, you know, provide for my family. So, like, that stuff worries me. But talking to guys in the Dakotas sounds like we're possibly on the better end of that deal now.
I think that part's passed. I don't think we're going to have a drop off in days. I think that they'll probably, in the next couple of years, we're going to see limits decrease, which would be fine by me anyways. I think the small Canada goose at 8 birds in places is stupid as hell. I think they need to cut it down to 4 or 5 birds. The outfitters out there that are young flatbill guys, I always say young flatbills, those guys that think it's going to kill their business, it ain't going to affect your business one bit. Guys want to come hunt. And if you kill 4 birds or 8 birds, they're still going to come hunt. Rustin told me last year that he had a group he tried to cancel because of something, because it was shitty and there's no weather, no rain or something. And then the guy shows up wearing fucking flip-flop shorts and a muscle shirt, and he's like, well, where do you think the ducks are? Well, fuck. You know?
Why aren't the ducks here?
It's 85 freaking degrees. Goddamn, look at your attire. You know?
They're in North Dakota.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They might be in the Arctic Circle still playing with the polar bears. You know? Shit. But.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, a 4-duck limit and a 4-goose limit, like, I think that would be a much better trade-off than cutting number of days. I'll put it that way.
I think everybody that's an outfitter and everybody that's a hunter will like that.
Yeah, take away the days I can go out and enjoy what I love. If I can only kill 4 ducks, okay, cool. Six shooting, you know, 24 ducks, that's still a good hunt.
Well, and with the way waterfowl hunters' luck is, they'll take away the days when the winter finally shows up. Like, it doesn't matter what day. If they take away from the front of the year, that's when it's going to be lights out. If they take away from the back of the year, by God, you can fucking count on it. Those days, you're going to have 4 inches of snow. It's going to be cold as shit, and those are the days that you want to be out. So I say leave the season alone. If you want to alter the season, if you want to alter anything, take a couple birds off the bag limit.
Sometimes I think biologists are like Democratic politicians or just politicians in general. They have no skin in the game. They don't ever know about how business runs or anything, and they just topsy-turvy about the way they do shit.
I think, you know, in the waterfowl specific world, I think there's a lot of biologists out there, the duck hunters too, but now the business side of it is totally different. But I think we see things happen because of public relations or perception a lot of times, like the one pintail limit, for instance. Like, is that really changing anything overall numbers wise if we shoot 1 instead of 2? Probably not, but the numbers are down on pintails, so we feel like we have to do something, and that was the something we could do. But I'm okay with 4 birds.
I know the problem with the pintail, and I'm gonna tell you right now, and if you got kids in the car, earmuffs on them. Then pintail hens are fucked to death because there's 375 drakes to every fucking hen that's in there flying around. That's the problem right there.
If anybody is listening to this show with kids in their car, I'm a little bit worried about them already.
Well, yeah, me too.
God bless the children.
Guy told me yesterday, he goes, you know, he goes, y'all are really growing like crazy, y'all's podcast numbers, but I think that the way y'all talk, y'all really are losing a lot of viewers that way. I said, well, we ain't going to change who we are because that's who we are, and that's what's making us so grow like we are. But I said, yes, it's not for everyone to listen to. I agree with you. 100%.
I had a lady in town corner me the other day. That was awkward.
I wonder how often that happens to you, like at the grocery store.
Very seldom, but she did. She was like, you know, ever since Rush Limbaugh died, I would be your number one listener, but I had to clean out my ears the other day.
Who is it?
I'll tell you off air. But I was like, yeah, you know, some of them can be pretty rough.
It gets me is when it's the old lady in town that does it.
She was older. But now I told her, like, if you catch an episode where it's just Jeff and I or the guides, like, yeah, it might be a little bit rough. It's going to be blind talk through and through. But, I mean, really, when we get guests on, it's not over.
We play to their level.
Yeah, exactly. If Clay Reed's telling a story about delivering in a bathroom.
Right.
Yes.
Then things might go off the tracks a little bit.
If Wyman Menzer's on here,
yeah, y'all are
there's very little cussing going on. When Ronnie Jackson, our congressman's on here, and he's going to be on here again in probably next month or two, I bet there's some people that we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. We had a chance this last winter to have a porn star on here with us, and we passed on that deal.
So see? Yes, we're refined.
Yes.
We're refined. We were going to let Blake and Josh do the interview.
Yeah.
So.
It's a lot like being in a duck blind, though. Yes. Andy, you've got a group full of preachers in the duck blind. You're going to talk a little bit different than you do the six drunk guys from New Orleans.
Unless you're the new guy working at Stanfield Hunting Outfitters that did not get the memo of the prayer before the hunt and didn't know he couldn't cuss in front of them.
He didn't read the room very well. Evidently, he was not there for when they were all holding hands in a circle and praying.
This is the best part of this whole story. After this guy complained to me, and I pointed it out to this young man, And Josh said, I guess you missed the part where they prayed before the hunt. You know, that should have been a number one deal. Then the next night we're having a guide meeting, and Blake, and I'm not going to say the kid's name.
Right.
Blake goes, we'll call him Bill. He goes, Jeff, Bill would like to know if there's a group that enjoys cussing.
That enjoys being cussed at.
90% of them, probably. 75% of them.
But that's exactly right. I mean, it's just – and I'm that way in any conversation that I have. If I have a conversation with somebody not on camera – you know, that's just how I talk. If they're throwing F-bombs around or if they're just using it sparingly, like, you read the room a little bit and you talk to them. I mean, the same if you listen to Joe Rogan, like, when he's got whoever his buddies are and they're smoking pot on there, he's way different than he is whenever he's got Elon Musk on.
I don't know. Wasn't Elon Musk smoking pot with him one day?
He did. He did that one time. They said Tesla took a big hit that day.
I don't change much of how I talk around anybody.
You do to a degree.
Yeah. I do, but it's still in court every once in a while. I say the F-bomb and stuff. I did it at 8-year-old softball game the other day. I hollered F-U to somebody. So I do skip sometimes. But the other day, I had to stand up in front of the whole town in Knox City, and we did a band auction, and I was the auctioneer. I've never auctioneered in my life. And I had a microphone, and it was just me. And I did not say the F word one time. And I was really that was the most proud moment for my day right there. So I got home and told Michelle, I said, I didn't say one cuss word.
Not a one.
30 minutes of me with a microphone in front of everybody in town. And I didn't say one. And I made fun, jacked with people and everything. I didn't say fuck you one time to nobody. And I was very proud of that.
Were you concerned that you were going
I was going to. Somebody bid this motherfucker up, something like that. Or Terry Utley, give me fucking 10 more dollars. Come on now. Something like that. Yes, I was really afraid that I would let it skip. We have an edit button here, so if I say something really bad, I can call Andy up and say, hey.
Take that part out.
How often does that happen?
Very little.
Less than a handful in the
five times in the 5 years you've been doing this, maybe.
We had to take something out for Clay Reed. I won't say what it was. We had to take something out for that.
Sex toy story.
You can imagine how bad it is if I had to take it out for Clay Reed.
Well, you didn't take it out for Clay. You took it out so he wouldn't get divorced.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
And just a handful of other things, but nothing really that I can, and I can't even think about what they are.
There's one time we talked about Payne's job and we took it out.
Yeah, maybe, but you know, little stuff, nothing that would get us, nothing that Ducks Unlimited would drop us for.
We're already in trouble by YouTube again.
Yeah. We talked about voters fraud. They booted us.
For a week.
Oh, they booted you?
For a week.
For a week.
We can't download nothing new.
Can't do anything on YouTube for a week.
I thought they would just, like, demonetize you. I didn't think they would actually kick you off of there.
Nope, we're done for a week on YouTube, so.
Over stupid shit. That's what wears me out.
here. We'll get this one kicked off.
Yeah easy, Jeff.
What I said wasn't bad.
We're gonna get on and back off again.
The things that we can talk about, though, that they wouldn't do anything to us to is what's amazing. It's such a broad spectrum of shit you can talk about. And the little things that there's a reason why they don't want you to talk about if they take you off, and that just wears me out.
I'm really worried.
Twitter.
What's that?
I said, isn't that the whole reason Elon Musk bought Twitter was to get rid of crap like that?
He needs to buy YouTube also and fix that next. And, you know, like I said, we got booted for what we said about the election. But we've got Ricky doing this this series, and I'm really worried about how much they're going to throttle us back when this hunting series comes out.
I don't know, man. I hear rumors of that all the time, but I still see hunting video. I mean, The Grind is on there.
Yeah.
You know, it's tons of hunting videos that are on there still, and it doesn't. Now, I'm not a YouTube dude, so I don't know how the money works on it as far as that goes. But unless it's just like super graphic, gory or something, I bet it's
our video series, which we have to come up with a name with pretty soon. We still have not named this thing. It is not a blood and guts piles and piles of stuff. It is about the life at Stanfield Hanging Outfitters and the Big Honker Lodge. The podcast, the guides, the ladies here that work here, the hunting, the clients, the shit that you go through every day that people have no clue about. No clue at all.
That, to me, that is the story, too. Like, that's the part. Wait, have y'all ever watched that Ongaro's Hired to Hunt on YouTube?
No, I have not.
He's a guy up in...
We've had him on. Claudio?
Yeah, Claudio. But like his YouTube series was kind of a factor in why I did this, because it was really cool because it showed the whole experience, not just, you know, piles of ducks.
People don't get the back, and I have guys all the time, hey, share more of that backstory. They like the backstory and the stuff on the side, because that's what makes it what it is. But they don't know what it's like when Michelle comes walking in my office at 2:15 in the afternoon, and she's like, guess what?
We're out of propane.
Propane. That was opening weekend of dove season. We're out of propane.
That's how we started our dove season.
Dove season this year. August 31st, no propane. Tony goes, I checked it. While I'm on his ass, go over and thump it. Needle goes to zero. It was hung up. So he thought there was 40%. So that's how it started. Cisco, they don't have potatoes or something. Just something that she needed in a meal. And that has happened more than one time. Or guess what? We can't get new potatoes anymore. We can't get this. We can't get that. No more 12-ounce cups. I mean, things that people's like, that's not a big deal. It is when you live in Knox City, Texas. It's an hour to Sam's in Abilene. Now, we made more runs to do stuff. Jesse would go to Wichita or something, and she would pick stuff up. I ordered a bunch of stuff off Amazon this year because I couldn't get it. But it's things like that that people don't understand. Or we're going to hunt and bird's been somewhere for 3 days, and then all of a sudden that morning I'm going to scout them. They're going there every day, and all of a sudden they go somewhere else. Or they start plowing a field up. Or just the shit that as outfitters that you go through that's all part of it. And we're fortunate because we talk to – there's only two other outfitters that hunt up here. And we talk a lot to each other every day, multiple times. So we all know what each other's doing, so we're not screwing each other over. Because I know a lot of places an outfitter gets set up and there's somebody right at the fence row hunting in the same spot they are. We don't deal with that here, and that is a blessing. But that's what our show is going to be about. You know, someone getting sick, someone having a flat tire, you know.
At the end of the day, that's what's going to interest people, because there's a million places they can go on YouTube and see ducks get shot.
Yes. Yeah, that's not – they don't want to see that. They want to see
the Kardashians of the guide world.
Yep.
And honestly, I really think that kind of the big piles and the big rainouts, I think that's kind of fizzling itself out. I think it was cool 5 years ago. And, I mean, obviously, you know, it's going to get its views and stuff like that, but there won't be any real depth to it.
Well, it'll be the popular 10-second Instagram reels, but as far as the substance of a 20-minute episode of anything, they're going to want to see the friction, the ups and downs. You know, they're going to want to see you and Jeff holler at each other in the kitchen.
It's usually me and Tony.
Yeah.
Or that.
Si- Speaking of farmers in fields, did you see the video of the crane hunter out in Arizona, I think it was? The farmer, so he was hunting public ground in Arizona. Evidently, you don't have to have permission in Arizona from what I can remember about the post. So he's crane hunting public land. You don't have to have permission. And the farmer comes out there and discs. He drives over like 30 of his 90 crane decoys with a disc.
Silhouette cranes?
No, like deceptions.
Woo!
he won in court. He said the farmer, I think it was on the Sandhill Crane.
How much money did he sue him for?
I want to say he got $3,000.
Decoys is it?
He said 29 out of 90. Let me look it up and see if I can't find it.
Fuck, 29 damn deception decoys are, how much are they, 100, 150 a piece?
Got 3,400. Okay, so here it is. Yeah, it's on Sandhill Crane Hunting and Calling. Steve Calvert. Now that the court case is settled, I can post this on Facebook. Crazy tractor man took a plea. I got $3,400 to replace my decoys. He paid some fines and pled guilty to a Class 6 felony, probation, and hunter harassment charge that puts him in front of the AZGFD Commission. Last November, while helping some friends on a wounded warrior hunt, state Arizona trust land, Crazy Tractor Man decided because he leases it from the state, he had the right to kick us off. Guess what? He was wrong. Arizona land is open to hunting. He came close to running over his dog, and you can see, like, his dog at the last minute goes at, there's, he's got a decoy laying on its side, and the dog, like, tries to retrieve it about the time the tractor is making his final, they might be SX decoys, I can't really tell.
Still expensive.
Yeah, I mean, there's no such thing as a cheap crane decoy.
90, yeah. Or he had 90 of them out?
He had 90 of them out. That's a big-ass crane spread. Farmer ran over 29 of them. You can hear him crunch whenever he drives over it.
That's a big crane spread.
But, I mean, fuck.
Crazy.
It's,
What do you do? I don't, it'd be hard not to run out there.
He's like, when he takes the video, the guy is within 10 feet of him.
How many people do you know put out that many crane decoys?
Maybe that's how they do it.
How many cranes? That's 7.5 dozen. How many you put out when y'all crane hunt? We put out like 3 dozen.
No, that's probably about right.
7.5?
We do 5 to 10.
Well, with both full bodies and the...
Well, yeah.
That's probably true, I guess.
Yeah. Do you crane hunt up there, don't you?
He don't crane hunt.
No, not at all?
No, we have it west of us in my area. Well... Technically, where I live, we can't crane hunt. You got to be west of I-35.
Where exactly are you located at, Wade?
So, Derby is the town that I live in. It's 8 miles south of Wichita.
Yep, been there. That's the first field hunting dog test. That's where it was at.
Derby?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think we talked about that one time.
Yep.
Which, you come up this far storm chasing some, don't you?
Well, I have not storm chased this year. Not one day.
You were gone.
I was gone. When everything fucking happens, I'm gone somewhere. The other night when we had all the tornadoes at the judges' conference. This next week, there ain't going to be a fuck. It's going to be 114. There ain't going to be no storms next week. Yesterday, it was up towards Minneapolis. I wasn't going to go that far. Then we're going to Puerto Rico. May 22nd to 29 will be an all-time record tornado outbreak in the Midwest. You watch. I'm going to be gone for a week, and that'll tornado every freaking day.
I'm just going to start paying attention to your Facebook. When you go on vacation, I'm gonna hunker down.
That's the week, May 22nd to 29th. I'll be in San Juan, Puerto Rico. Probably have a fucking hurricane there, but it'll be clear in the Midwest.
Yeah, we had that Andover F3 that hit.
That was a big one.
Yeah, I think it was on I don't remember what the date was. The second, maybe. It went within a mile and a half of the house, and our son was over with some friends, and it went within like 50 yards of them. They got it on video. I mean, the kids and everybody were in the basement, but yeah, that was before it really built. I mean, it was sucking up debris and water out of the pond and stuff, but it wasn't doing any damage just yet, but it started right after that.
Y'all have any damage at y'all's place?
Not at my house, no.
Nothing?
You sent me a video, I think, from your backyard, or somebody did from up there. I think it was you.
I think that was the video that our friend took, that our son was at their house.
Yes, it's crazy. How
that was about a mile and a half north of us.
Where is the dry line? Because Great Bend, they're real dry right now, right? And Quivira and Cheyenne Bottoms, they're dry.
it's, if you, you know where McPherson, Kansas is?
No.
Wichita. So it's like 50 miles straight north of Wichita. If you were to draw a line from there going southwest towards Pratt, Kansas, through the, that's kind of where the dry line is right now, because we're not dry down here at all.
Right.
Everything's full. It's wet. We got skeeters and ticks for right now. But up there in central Kansas is still pretty dry. They got some rain last week, but they still need more.
Yeah, they're getting the rain that they're getting in some places. Like southwest Oklahoma is like us. It's brutally dry. Panhandle of Texas is dry. They get rain, but they don't get no runoff rain. The rains they've gotten is just enough to keep it green.
Yeah.
So your turkey season, you said before we started recording, you haven't really noticed like a big drop-off in your turkey. Not, I mean, you know, you've noticed a drop-off, but it hasn't been like Missouri is. Is that fair to say? Uh-oh. What happened here?
Electricity went off.
Uh-oh.
It was just steal power from the HVAC guy to do work.
Oh, no. The HVAC guy's there, and he cut your power off.
Yeah, but the tablet's on 5G, so I'm just going to go off my truck.
We had Chef Jean-Paul on, and his internet's been in and out today, so it's just that kind of day here at the Big Honker Podcast.
Well, yeah, and, you know, I've got the greatest luck in the world, but my AC goes out when I'm trying to do something like this. But our turkey numbers are definitely down, but there's still, like, decent pockets of turkeys here and there. But, like, we were so inflated. Like, there were, you know, we had flocks of, you know, 200 in one flock there for a few years.
Right.
Just about to get real bright for a second.
Oh, you're
But yeah, so we had like these massive, massive flocks of turkeys. And so when those flocks get down to 30 or 40, you know, it seems like they're really down, when in reality it's still pretty good at hunting.
Yeah.
But other parts of the state have been hit a lot harder than we have, though.
What are they saying is leading to this?
Man, so, I mean, there's tons of theories on it. A lot of people attribute it to habitat, as far as losing cover areas and not burning because of timber practices now and different things like that. But just from my own observation, the biggest thing that I can see is nest predators, because I don't think anybody's paying any money for raccoon skins anymore, coyote skins, and I don't know that coyotes are as big of a problem as we probably like to think that they are. I think that the skunks and the possums and the coons, the things that are robbing the eggs, to me, are probably our greatest contributing factor.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I don't even know what, do you know how much a skunk pellet is, or a raccoon pellet?
Pelt. I don't think there's any market for them.
So, I mean, it's not even worth.
Yeah, I don't.
Unless you're like Big Earl that traps them on his own. I mean, there's just no need for people to go out there and fuck with it.
I don't think you're going to there's no fur market hardly anymore for anything anyways, because all the damn woke people, I'm sure, has got a lot to do with it. But, you know, back in the 60s and 70s, and even in the 80s, the states would pay a bounty for, you know, you took your coyote ears into the county courthouse, they'd give you so many bucks a piece for them.
Right.
And I don't think there's any of that going on anymore.
Somebody said that the turkeys peaked in numbers. I want to say the chart I saw said 2010. And ever since then, it's been, I'd have to go look at it again. So there's a guy.
I think.
Go ahead.
I think that was 2010. Like, if you were looking across the country, I think that was probably the peak.
Yes, yeah, it was definitely countrywide. The gentleman that wrote the article on turkey reaping for Outdoor Life, he's going to be on next week, and that'll be interesting to talk to him. His theory is that turkey reaping is leading to more people harvesting birds, and it's also harvesting like the top dog that's out in the flock, because only the top dog will approach a strutter that's challenging him. Subordinate birds will just run away. So his theory is that it's taken the top breeder and taken him out of the flock, and then it's taken too long to reestablish the breeding order, and maybe some hens are not fulfilling their clutch like they used to. I don't know.
I don't think that's a contributing factor. I mean, not a significant contributing factor, because I've seen plenty of 2-year-old young gobblers breed hens this year.
Right.
I mean, and then seeing those hens go off and nest afterwards. So, to me, the reaping thing, like, I get why people don't like it. I don't do it, not because I'm against it, because I think we killed out the aggressive genes in the turkeys a few years ago, because now, like, if you at least in my area, if you walk out there with a strutter decoy, like, they're going to shag ass out of there. They're not playing that game.
I have never killed a turkey over a strutter decoy. I did it. So, like, when I first started turkey hunting, there wasn't a lot of literature on, like, how to kill a turkey, and I was god-awful those first couple of years. And the few videos that were on YouTube of people killing turkeys, they had a strutter, so I bought a Primos B-Mobile and put a real fan up there. And every Tom that saw that decoy went the other way. I did not shoot a turkey over a turkey decoy until I ran a Jake decoy.
I agree. That's what we see most of the time too. Like, we don't see toms that'll approach a strutter around here. Like, it got to the point I quit using a Jake decoy for like last two seasons ago. I quit using a Jake decoy because they were scared of that.
Somebody told me, and this might be bullshit, that later in the year, the Jakes will team up on the Toms. They'll kind of go on these missions, and if they see a Tom strutting, the Jakes will actually gang up and run the Tom off. So that
happens all the time.
So they say later in the year, like, if a Tom sees that Jake decoy, he's like, fuck, he's going to have 5 or 6 buddies, and he's going to jump on, they're going to jump on me. So that's why the Jake decoy doesn't necessarily work later in the year.
Yeah, I've seen that happen in plenty of places where the Jakes team up on the Toms and run them off. I don't know how much that scares one Tom off from coming in, or a Tom from coming into one Jake decoy, but I know damn good well the Jakes will gang up and whoop a Tom's ass.
Yeah. I enjoy turkey. Problem is, our turkey numbers took a hit, and it's got to be the predators. Like, it has to be.
I think it's eyeworm.
It's got to be something, because the places that we hunt, we're the only people that turkey hunt on it, and we had a lot of Jakes a couple years ago, and now they're gone.
It what? Okay. Oh, sorry, she was telling about the HVAC guy. Yeah, that. I mean, that eyeworm. You know, they talk about the chicken fertilizer. I mean, maybe there's some legitimacy to that stuff, but I haven't seen a bunch of turkeys running around looking deformed with knots all over their heads and stuff like that. You know, I mean, we run a bunch of trails and get pictures of tons of turkeys and see any that look sick.
Well, in Southwest Oklahoma, where we waterfowl hunt at, we used to see 400 or 500 bird flock
in the winter.
Legit in wintertime, 400 or 500 birds. There's 6-8 birds in there now. And that's it. On places nobody's hunting. They're just gone. And it's that whole area over there. Every creek had a ton of turkeys on them. There's none no more.
But predators.
That's a fucking, that'd be some fat-ass coyotes running around.
Has any changed?
His what?
Does the habitat look the same? Like
everything's the same. I mean,
so yeah, there ain't that much change in there.
No, I mean, I don't. That's all that, that, and they think it's eyeworm, and is what I've been told. But I mean, if they, if it's coyotes and they've eaten 400 fucking turkeys
No.
Coyotes, bobcats,
raccoons, skunks, things that eat the eggs. Not necessarily, because
what about all the adult birds? Where'd they go though?
They could have just fucking died of old age. I don't think that a turkey lives but to be 3 or 4. What's an old turkey? 4 or 5?
I don't know. You tell them.
Is an old turkey.
Yeah, I would think so.
So 5 years old is an old turkey, and if though, and if,
and that's true.
If they have not been replaced, then you're going to see a big drop off.
And I don't know. It's kind of like quail. You take a bird that's got its eggs and it's on the ground. It's hard to. They're not going to fend them off. They're not going to do nothing to fight them off. Quail, they've come up with these traps where quail can go in there and make nests and nothing else can get into them. You can't do that with a turkey. It's too big.
Right,
but. How come other areas, the varmints aren't eating all their eggs? Is it just in certain geographical areas? Because you go down South Texas and you can go on ranches that's got birds, 400 or 500 bird flocks are not that uncommon. Why aren't they eating all their eggs?
I think it's nationwide.
You think it's nationwide?
Yeah, I mean, there may be a few pockets out there that still have really, really good numbers like that. But if like you listen to guys across the country, with the exception of places like the Mountain West in some places and South Texas, but throughout the Southeast, throughout the Midwest, you're seeing a big, big decline. And if I had to guess one thing, I would blame it on raccoons first and foremost, eating all the eggs.
You can't get rid of them bastards anyways.
Mm-mm. Nah, can't trap enough of them, I don't think. I mean, you could help, but.
And I think the wild pig population hurts us because number one, they'll definitely eat an egg if they see it, but they just fucking, they'll plow through brush and not even think about what they're stepping on. So I think we lose a lot of eggs just to pigs running through in and out, big herds of pigs. And, you know, obviously if they stumble, they'll definitely eat it.
Yeah. When I was stationed in Shreveport from 99 to 07, we were able to hunt on the Air Force base there. And had the best turkey hunting I've ever seen in my entire life. And I left there in 2000. After that, they said that the wild pigs got so bad on base there that that they have camps, but they can't. The pigs killed all the.
You're breaking up a little bit, but the pigs trampled all the eggs there, and it was the best that you'd ever seen?
Yeah. Yeah, it was the best turkey hunting I'd experienced. And after the pigs moved in, they have no turkeys anymore from destroying the nests and stuff like that.
So that could be part of the problem out here. Was that all Easterns?
Yeah. Yeah, all Easterns in Louisiana.
What are Rios way easier? Or can you tell, or is it still just fucking turkey?
I think it's still just a turkey, but the hunting pressure is way less out here than it is in the Southeast. I mean, Mississippi, Louisiana, Alabama, Arkansas, all those places, everybody hunts. So you just get so much pressure on those birds. They're so educated.
Yeah. They're so fickle too, and I think you know, just like the quail, when they farm corner to corner, you know, that's going to knock out a lot of habitat. So habitat loss, predators, it's a delicate little balance that we find ourselves in. But
exactly, I think it's a combination of all of them together.
Yeah, so hunting season was tough last year. When does y'all season close up there? Is it close February like ours?
Yeah, ducks closes the last Sunday in January. So I think it was January 30th last year. And then we have that 2 or 3 week, you know, late goose season that runs till mid-February.
Did you do any goose hunting that last 2 weeks, or did you stop whenever duck season was over?
No, we always run a few goose hunts during that late goose season because we start getting it's kind of the perfect mix because it's cold enough. We'll get the honkers, the big honkers, to come down from up north, and then we'll start getting some of y'all specks and little geese coming back up from there and kind of catch them right here in the middle.
Do you find fields where you get all of those in one, or do the honkers kind of stay off in their own fields and then the specks and the lessers off in their own field, or do you find fields where they're all kind of commingling?
They're all in the same field, but the honkers will go off to the side. They won't, like, you know, they're not going to sit in there with the snows and the specks and the little geese.
I can't figure it out. I can't figure out if honkers are just, this, you know, just fucking grumpy and they don't want to be around all that noise, or if, like, specks and snows are just, like, legitimate assholes that are just not fun to be around. Because we know it's the same thing here.
I think it's the lessers, maybe more than the specks and the snows, just like, because there's so many of them. Mm-hmm. You know, what's a big flock of honkers in your area? I know if I find a field of 200 honkers here, that's like a lot of honkers in one place, whereas 2,000 little geese isn't even that big of a feat. So I think they get overrun by the numbers of them.
Yeah. But the couple times, like, we've had it in Oklahoma where we hunt, there'll be like 50 honkers there, but, like, you can tell they're honkers because they're off by themselves 100 yards away from anybody, and they're like, fuck that. I don't want to deal with them at all.
Yep, that's normally what we should do.
So do you, whenever you're running your spreads, do you, like, set something off to the side for the honkers, or do they just come in?
Yeah, we split the spread like that. We'll do honkers off on the edges, mm-hmm, in like more like family groups, and then have, you know, like your donut or Jay or whatever more to the interior for the little geese. And sometimes it works, but most of the time we just get the little geese to come into it and the honkers will skirt around the edges.
That fucking pisses me off.
Or they'll land 80 yards out there in front of you.
I think that might piss me off more.
Mm-hmm. That's why I like hunting them over water more than anything else.
Oh, yeah, I bet so. But, yeah, fucking, they'll be looking good, and then, like, you're like, oh, shit, they're going to fucking land out there. And then you look up, and they land out there 100 yards. You're like, God damn it. Or they'll circle you. You're like, ooh, one more pass, and we got them. It's like, fuck.
Do you send the dog out there to flush them up? Or you just pop a couple
air bombs
or what?
Get rid of them, yeah.
Do you, let me ask you this.
Definitely get rid of them.
Did you see a lot of widgeons this year?
No. I'm trying to remember if we got into any, like, big widgeon shoots. And I know we killed a few late January that were coming back up from y'all's way.
They weren't coming from here.
Not big shoots of them.
We haven't had any widgeons in 2 years.
Might be longer than that.
Yeah, I haven't killed.
I think we had one afternoon shoot that we killed a lot of widgeons on, and that was it.
I was going to go back through my pictures.
But they were thin. They were very thin this year.
Like thin, you like mean they're non-existent?
They're non-existent thin this year. You just didn't see very many of them. We're going to be under La Nina till October. It's going to lift in October. When it does, the experts are saying we're going to have a really wet, wet, wet winter. So we will see how smart they are.
You're so adorable.
If it comes wet, wet, wet winter, it means it's going to be a cold winter also, because usually that goes hand in hand. I hope that in December,
we could go for a couple.
I am bitching about us being fucking in the mud every day.
Oh, I'll definitely be bitching if we're in the mud every day.
Oh, you will be, but I'll be happy at least it's raining and wet. We are fortunate compared to a lot of people, especially where you are. If it rains a lot here in the wintertime, a lot of our peanut fields are all sandy, so we can get in and out. You poor fuckers in that tire land up there, if it's wet up there, it's miserable, isn't it?
Well, it depends. We hunt along the, well, they pronounce it the Arkansas River here, but the Arkansas River is all sand bottom. So that floodplain for it is real sandy like y'all's. So we can get in and out of that pretty well. But, you know, if you get out into some of the edges of our area where, I don't know if it's loam or whatever it is, but it turns into soup, you know, when it's wet.
And the fucking Rangers add half an hour to morning setup. As far, and half the time it doesn't have gas in it, so you got to stop in town on the way and fill it up, and it's just, oh, When I find out I got to drag a Ranger, I'm like, oh my. Because, you know, a lot of times I'll do a group by myself or I might have another person, but like, you for sure have to have two people at least because they got to pull the Ranger and I got to pull the regular trailer. And, you know, you're looking at a 2 or 3 man operation. And then, like, getting the clients out there, you're shuttling back and forth, and, oh.
You're kind of bitchy, Andy.
It adds so much more to the morning, and it does not have to be that difficult. But, yeah, fuck yeah, Jeff. You don't live my life. You need to get out there every once in a while. You can shuttle people back and forth.
I would if I had to, but I've got other people on the payroll that can do it.
If I had to.
So. That's what I'm gonna do.
You don't know my struggles.
Did you hire another guide for this year, Wade?
Four.
You hired how many? Four new ones? How many of them had
four total plus me, so five total. Three of them we had last year. So last year there was four of us.
Right.
And now there's five.
You hired one new guy though, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many people applied for that job?
I constantly get messages and stuff about it, probably a couple of them a week. Just people looking for it. Cause I didn't advertise anything cause I already knew people that wanted to do it, that I wanted them to do it.
Yeah. It's, there's no shortage of
one no.
of new prospects.
So if you had to guess, how many guides have you had work at Stanfield over the course of the last 27 whatever years?
100.
Think that many?
Yeah, probably pretty close.
Well, that makes it pretty easy. And how many of them have continued to guide? What's the percentage?
That are still in the outfitting business now, working for themselves?
Zero.
Well, one. Mags.
Yeah.
One guy that's not working here. Austin Coffin's still working. He's running places too.
Yeah, but he's young.
In 30 years of business. I mean, this is me, my 30th year in business. In 30 years, I've had 100 guides work for me. I could write it down. One day I was going to do a shirt and put everybody's name on it. There's a couple of them bastards I don't want on my shirt. But
put that motherfucker on me.
But on that list of guys, I'm going to say 100. And there's two guys right now that one works for someone else, and one of them works for himself, and that's it that I can think of. Now, over the years, there's been a shitload of them have worked other places after they left here. I mean, a bunch.
But
started only, new outfitters and all kinds of
but
stuff.
But only for 2 or 3 years.
Yes, they don't last very long. It's a lot easier. Yeah. My job looks a whole lot easier than it really is. And
guide, period.
Yeah, and I would rather hire a young guy that doesn't have much experience than hire some grumpy ass guy in his 40s that's worked at 10 different places that's smarter than everywhere he's ever been.
Yeah, exactly.
And so that it comes with the hard part. And the young guys, we done a really good job this year, the guys that worked for us. We had a really good young staff, and they were really good kids. And we were very fortunate, and they were very respectful. But there's a lot of young guys that aren't very respectful, but there's a bunch of old people that aren't respectful too. But
well, you just can't teach an old guy.
No.
He's not as receptive, you know?
He knows more.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't want to get up at 4 a.m. and fuck with the muddy and the four-wheelers and all that shit like Andy said, the Rangers. I don't want to do that
shit. You're awfully bitter, Jeff.
Well, I'm old now. But when I was 20, 22, 23, 24, I didn't mind doing it. And it's hard to find an old guy that wants to be miserable for a little bit to do his job. And you just don't see very many. Oh, the passion is the younger guys. The guy you hire, young or old this year, your new guy.
Too young and I'm in their early 30s. So it depends on what you classify that. I'm 40, so that's still youngish to me.
The key is for us is finding someone that's a team player because it's a team. You got to work together, and you get the guys that got a lot of attitude that think they're better than the team. You got to be. It all has to work fluidly together, and that's that way at all places. And they also got to realize they're not coming to hunt; they're coming to guide. That's a different thing.
Let me ask you this, because this is something that I'm thinking of the last 3 years hires that we have. Do the resumes that you have, are they putting like just an exorbitant amount of pro staffs that they represent on there, or is that fading away?
Not as much that as they.
Because I'm thinking like 2005 to 2010.
That's fading away big time because it doesn't hold the weight that people even thought it did. So I don't, I think to most people that are really into the business side of it, that's almost become a joke to a lot of people.
Yes. Yeah. That's what I was going to say, because I can remember 2004 to 2010, it was like, that guy's on pro staff. And like,
with Instagram, that don't carry no water no more.
Right.
Now, we are talking to the man that's Mr. Cabela's now, so we need to kind of watch what we say about him.
Sorry.
Hey, the best thing about Cabela's is they have everything in one spot.
They do.
They do. They've got a lot. How did that come about?
through the local store here in Wichita, just having a relationship with their general manager and employees and marketing people through DU and stuff like that.
That's cool. I mean, they're a good company to team up with. But I can remember I was like 19 and one of our guides, he pro staffed for Zink and Avery. And I was like, ooh, fuck.
He didn't just pro staff. That motherfucker looked like a running advertisement for him.
He's got it going on. Okay.
We had a guy come up here one that had a job in his first year here, and he had notes on his phone to tell us about all these places. Well, everybody he was talking about are people I knew personally. But he was trying to throw names out. Tim Grounds, so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so. Well, fuck, I knew every one of them. It wasn't, I wasn't impressed by that at all. The new guy that I hired this year sent me a really in-depth resume. I talked to him a couple of times. Then he followed up with me a half dozen times. And then I talked to him and I hired him over the phone. But he was very persistent, very eager, knows what the situation is, knows he's low man on the totem pole. And he works hard, comes from a good family, and I gave him a job. Now, I'm not expecting him to run goose hunts by himself. That ain't going to happen.
Not anytime soon.
No, not this year. He will be an assistant guide, and he knows that. Mm-hmm. And I told him, I said, you may help do hog hunts. You may fill up deer feeders. You may do pheasant hunts. You may do a fucking snipe hunt with some Boy Scouts. I don't know, but that's what your job's going to be. And he's fine with that, and he knows.
But like you said, with the pro staff thing, Zink and Avery, those were the only two. Like now, there's 5,000. So like you said earlier, it doesn't carry the weight that it did. You call company X, you pro staff for them, but they're still like major brand, like Cabela's. Like that's, they're not just going to have some schmo on there representing Cabela's. So like
super determined.
Well, we'll see how it walks out. We'll see how it turns out. But you know what I mean? Like there's just the market is so saturated in a lot of these companies where it doesn't carry the weight that it used to.
Especially call companies.
Yeah.
Cause God dang, there's 412 guys are on one pro staff of a call company, and they'll tell me about it. And I'm like, oh, do you know so-and-so? Who's that? That's the guy that owns that call company. Oh, no, I don't deal with him. I'm like, well, fuck, you're a pro staffer. So I think they give calls to a lot of guys that think they can sell. Plus the influencers now. Everybody's a fucking influencer.
I mean, everybody has a DSLR camera and takes pictures and puts them on Instagram. And if you take good pictures and show their product in a positive light, then sure, they'll send you a $100 call.
Yep, that's exactly right. Hey, what time is it where you're at right now? You're in the Central Flyway, right?
2:45.
2:45. What the fuck are you doing, Tony, drinking a beer at 2:45 in the afternoon? Do we not have some rules around this place? Andy's drinking a beer. Tony's drinking a beer.
That's all I had to drink.
It's not even 3 o'clock.
That's all I had to drink. There's no fucking water out here.
Put it in the fridge.
Well,
I'm the only sober one here, Wade, that's working and doing his job completely sober. That's why I'm the boss. They just walk all over me around here.
Would you like a beer?
No.
So, hey, going back to the guide, the most important trait for a successful guy. I'll tell you mine, but what do you think it is?
Working together and
being able to visit with your client.
Yeah.
Communication with your gut groups. No matter what they are, who they from, have something you can talk about to them where you become their friend.
Yeah. Something in common. It don't matter what it is. If it's football or politics or
yep.
one group, Jesus. Yep. Mm-hmm. But I think to me, it's a positive attitude
yep.
more than anything. Like, because there's days it's going to suck when you're slopping around in peanut mud. And if you're pissed off and the clients see that, they know that it ruins their day, whether you kill birds or not, if you're being an asshole.
Yep. If I go on a fishing trip and that guy, as soon as we get on that boat, says, yeah, we ain't going to catch shit today. The barometric pressure's too high. It's going to be windy, blah, blah. Well, then why the fuck are we going out? Tell me, we've been catching fish over here, blah, blah, blah. Then I'm excited. I'm a big boy. If we don't catch no fish, it's fishing. But you damn sure don't want to kill it at the dock before you go out. But I also want a guy that's going to be
somewhat honest
with people and say, hey, listen, we ain't got no wind today. It's going to be 93 degrees on Christmas next Tuesday.
But we're going to work hard.
We're going to bust our ass.
We're
going
to do everything in our capability to make sure we have a good hunt.
We've got birds here, but every one of them some bitches has got a PhD from Harvard, and we're going to try our best for you and stuff. And I appreciate that because I'm going to tell them that in my office when they ask me, because I don't ever send my guys out and say, oh, my God, we're going to shoot a limit. And then they come in, we killed two birds. Oh, man, I'm shocked knowing that it wasn't going to be that way, because I know when it's going to be a bad day a lot of days.
I don't even like to tell guys when you see this badass scout, because I'm afraid something's going to go.
You and Andy, both of y'all.
We could not hunt together.
Andy's negative Nancy on that shit.
They could be using that same field for 3 days, and we could have every bird in the county going there for 3 days, and I would find something wrong with the plan. I that's just my makeup. They could be loading up in there, and I'd be like, I don't know. What if they shortstop us? So it's not fun living in my head.
No, it's not fun living around you. I don't think either.
Are you there, Wade? I think we lost Wade.
All right, let's.
I'm back. I hit the one dead spot on my way to.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I said it's not fun living in my head.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I always worry about this as well. But I even try not to get myself too hyped up. I sure as hell don't want to get the clients all hyped up for and turn next day.
One of our guides this year, he got excited, way excited. Before every hunt, like football, I'm going to strap it on and go run through that brick wall for you, kind of excited. And I'd be like, dude, like, just take a chill pill, man. It's going to be what it's going to be. There was one day we were hunting in high wind and we were walking out and he was like, fuck yeah, man, I'm so fucking excited. It's just, man, it's like Friday night all over again, or a big wrestling match. And he's like, I stayed up all night watching YouTube videos on how to hunt in high wind. And I was like, why? He's like, well, I wanted to have something to talk to you about. And I'm like, I was going to be here. Like, did you not think that I would know how to hunt in high winds? Like, I got this, bud. Like, yeah, but like, if you told me to do something, like I wanted to be able to talk to you about it. I'm like, okay, that's cool, man. But you know, I mean, part of that's cool, but you're gonna get tired quick. Getting that high up.
Yeah, he's gonna burn out.
You're gonna burn out fast, and you know it doesn't. If you're at a fucking 20, and then all of a sudden the high wind day doesn't work out, you now all of a sudden you're at a 2, because you just put so much into it. So stay a little bit even keel, buh.
Yeah, I think that's a super important piece of the game is just. Managing your emotions. Don't get too high on the highs. Don't get too low on the lows.
Just
it's somewhere in between there.
Stay even. Stay positive. Do everything that you can. Let them know that you're doing everything that you can, but also be, you know, let them down in an easy way. Like, listen, this is what's going on, and we're going to do this, and maybe that'll work. But if not, then this is what we're looking at.
Wade, we appreciate you being on here. Tell everybody how to get a hold of you.
How's the dog training going?
It's good. We got, I don't know, 7 dogs, 8 dogs. Kind of a little bit slower. I think Uncle Joe's $150 a tank gas prices are probably slowing down guys sending their dogs for training right now, but to be expected. But we're actually going to try to do something to mitigate that a little bit. We're going to add something we did a few years ago. We're going to expand on it with a train-the-trainer program. So it's going to be cheaper than sending your dog off for a month, but it's going to be one-on-one, whether virtual or in person. We're going to kind of walk you through how to, you know, what to do with your dog. I think, you know, 3 years ago before COVID, that really was kind of a foreign concept. But now, you know, we're also used to Zoom and what we're doing right now with Skype and everything else, that I think it's probably the right time to do something like that. And, you know, provide lesson plans for guys so that they have, or girls, so that they have a detailed plan of what they need to do with their dog over the course of the next week until you follow up for your weekly checkup, and then do it all again and walk you through the process. And it's, you know, it's cheaper than sending your dog off to a trainer, but it's still effective, and you end up with a good dog. And I think a lot of people want to train their own dogs nowadays too, but I think that's the push.
I really like that idea, train the trainer, because Ron always used to say, you know, it's a team sport, and you can have that dog looking like a shiny new penny, and then it gets where it's going, and it's fucking dog turd. And it's all because of the handler.
Yeah, well, exactly. At the end of the day, the owner's got to know how to work with the dog, whether they send it to a trainer or they do it with themselves. Like, that interaction in the long term over the course of 10 years of that dog hunting is going to be the most important part, not the 4 to 5 to 6 months with a trainer.
Right. Right. Know how the dog works. You know, Lou has a natural bend whenever I send him on a long retrieve, and I know that. So I set him up for success. Like, he curves to the right, and I know that. So if I'm sending him on a long retrieve, I know he's going to curve to the right a little bit. So I accommodate that whenever I'm lining him up. But, you know, it's just know your dog, know his temperament, know how much you can lean on him. And it's like being a waterfowl guide. Like, you got to stay in control, and you can't be all over the place. I'm thinking of a great friend of ours. He's got a really good dog, but he steps all over that dog's dick, and the dog goes 50 yards and he's fucking whistling him to stop. It's like, you're the dog's biggest problem. Keep the fucking whistle in your pocket. So
you definitely got to know when to let the dog do its job on a hunt.
Yeah. So I like that. I'm all for that train the trainer idea. So how can people get a hold of you if they want to sign up for something like this, or if they want to book a hunt with you?
All they got to do is just go to our website, Ski, or send me a message on Facebook or Instagram. Man, I'm easy to get a hold of.
Beautiful. Well, listen, man, we appreciate your time, and have fun the rest of this summer. Are you going to go to, like, Squad Fest or anything like that?
I'm thinking about going to Squad Fest. We're going to go to the convention down in New Orleans. There was one more I was thinking of like that. I missed DUX down in Texas, but I think we're going to schedule that to go for next year. But yeah, we might be at Squad Fest. Are y'all going up to St. Louis?
Yes, we'll be up there both days, and then we'll also be at Game Fair
for the second weekend. Game Fair.
So we'll be around.
Well, good.
But anyway, if we run
maybe
into
maybe we can meet at St. Louis, get some ribs.
Yep, that'll be good. I'll get my fingers all dirty. Well, listen, man, we appreciate you coming on, and enjoy the rest of your summer, bub.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Bye. Hey, Wade, maybe I'll get up that way and see you while I'm storm chasing, bud. God bless you. Wade Skeen, good guy.
That is Skeen Gun Dogs, and I think his connection went a little wonky.
SkeenGunDogs.com, I believe.
So I am going to give his website for him. If I can find it.
I think it's SkeenGunDogs.com.
SkeenOutfitters.com.
Okay. Well, I was wrong again.
So if you want to send your dog, go on a waterfowl hunt, go on a turkey hunt up in Kansas, Give them a jingle.
All right. Thank y'all for listening to us. God bless y'all. Have a great week. Is this coming out on Monday?
With us being banned on YouTube, I'm gonna tinker with next week's schedule.
Okay, I'm confused.
I don't know if I'm gonna release it on Monday or if I'm gonna release it on Wednesday when we're back up on YouTube. I don't know how we're gonna.
Oh, you're just gonna release them Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday then? Because you can release them on regular on the podcast, but right. you can't do. Okay, I got you.
I don't know.
All right, that's fine. All right, thank y'all. God bless y'all, and have a great week.
Check out our sponsors. Check out Ducks Unlimited. They're fighting for us duck hunters. Shin Gear Waiters, Dirty Duck Coffee, Lucky Duck, Looking Glass Duck Club, Gun Dog Outdoors, Stanfield Hunting Outfitters, Bangtail Whiskey, Pacific Calls, Dive Bomb Industries, Boss Shot Shells, and Alf Outdoors.